making TV special.
Dennis. Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
This is the CBS Evening News. Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening.
Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation. Military threat. The flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries. Prison disaster. Economic collapse. Dangerous radiation. A tide of violence and human misery. A liar and an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline. Starving victims. And now they die. Killable weapons. Carpet bombing deaths. Trump FBI. Killed and injured children. Police conspiracy. Negative attacks. Discipline. Sex and drinking binges. Dying of a heart attack. Dying of breast cancer. Dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb. Mountains of credit card debt. The mountain of cocaine. Tons of cocaine. Atomic bomb radiation experiments. Unwitting test subjects. Dangerous radiation. Marijuana abuse. Hooked on drugs. Time for us to bug out. Rock. Rock. Rocked by rape. Rock. Rock. Rocked by rape. Rock. Rock. Rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rocked by rape. Nazi war criminals, cancer, dark, murder, caution, terrorist, castigation, police conspiracy, dramatic urban torture, drunk driving, hostage siege, government shutdown, collapses, desperation, despair, deep into debt, criminals persecuted, semi-automatic handgun, explosive gunman killed a tourist, funeral victims, racist massive lawsuit. Hostage, ethnic war, cancer death rate fleeing for their lives, CIA narcotics operations, hungry, homeless, frustrated terrorists, spoiled, unsanitary, hard-hitting losers, brutal, bizarre, critical bombing, the gang's rule, criminal anti-government love triangle, deeper and deeper into damage, even death, anti-drug DEA, worldwide ban, time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rocked by rape. Rock, rock, rocked by rape. Rock, rock, rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Disgruntled conspirator attack, killed. U.S. warplane went down in flames, crash, gunned down, shooting death, blood drops, murderer. Desperate tragedy. Isn't he dead? Death penalty. Ransom note forbidding notorious overwhelming communist urban punishment. Low ethics. Extortion and murder. A plane crash set an entire neighborhood on fire. International smuggling pipeline. Make it faster, better, cheaper. Health risk. Criminal murdering a man. Tough. Diplomatic hell on earth. Magnetic radiation. Fraudulent assassins. Mysterious murder. Chemical terrorism. Military targets. Fatal crash. Danger. The freak accident. No known survivors. Wild and woolly semi-automatic truck bomb. Emergency anti-fatal shooting rampage. Notorious negative police brutality. Fear. The hidden Nazis next door. Marxist rebels. Serious murderer. Accidents. Problems. Punitive damages. Like that negative heart-wrenching controversy. Time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rocked by rape. Rock, rock, rocked by rape. Rock, rock, rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Bug out, bug out, bug out, bug, bug.
And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
That's the Evolution Control Committee. Rocked by Rape. Love that track. Those guys, I believe, connected somehow to the audio terrorists known as Negative Land. And this is the radio show known as Media Monarchy. This is the B-side episode of 149. Big 150 coming up. But we're ducking into the studio a little early on this Friday morning, November 20th, 2009. It's about 8:30 here at the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And what we do on the B-sides is play catch-up, squeeze in things we can't fit into the main show. And that audio cut-up, I think, sets the table pretty well for what we're going to get into and where we more or less left off. On episode 149, didn't have time to get to the latest media memes, so we're going to get those as well as even more. So we're going to hit up the posts on MediaMonarchy.com, media memes, greenwash, Lou Dobbs, and immortal technique. The first, by way of CBS News, the Department of Justice asked for IndyMedia.us's visitor logs. In a case that raises questions about online journalism and privacy rights, the U.S. Department of Justice sent a formal request to an independent news site ordering it to provide details of all reader visits on a certain day. The grand jury subpoena also required the Philadelphia-based IndyMedia.us website, quote, not to disclose the existence of this request unless authorized by the Justice Department, a gag order that presents an unusual quandary for any news organization. Christina Clare, a 34-year-old Linux administrator living in Philly who provides free server space for IndyMedia.us, said she was shocked to receive the Justice Department subpoena. And then it has a little parenthesis. The Independent Media Center is a left-of-center amalgamation of journalists and advocates that, according to their principles of unity and mission statement, work toward promoting social and economic justice and social change. The subpoena, with the PDF download, thanks to EFF.org, demands that, quote, all IP traffic to and from IndyMedia.us on June 25th, 2008. The story goes on, and I'm not sure if we find out how this leaked out. That's the clever thing about these, and this sounds like a similar situation to NSL's national security letters. That when you get them, you can't say that you got them. And I forget what it's called in the UK. A D notice, perhaps? But further down the list of media memes, by way of Stephen Lindman, but over on the Baltimore Chronicle, NPR, PBS, and the National Security State, going into our foundation-funded media and the close relation with the state. Media, money, and the Moonies. That's an article up on opednews.com, and what it ties into is the shakeup at Reverend Moon's Washington Post. The Reverend Sun Myung Moon owned Washington Times, fired three top executives on November 7th, quote, amid reports that the paper's top editor might also be leaving, the New York Times reported. However, despite billion-dollar losses, a series of editorial shakeups over the past few years, the tough economic climate for newspapers in general, and ownership by the controversial Moon, it doesn't appear that the paper will cease operations anytime soon. Mainline, older media, dazed and confused. We get further reporting on the greenwashing, the green propaganda that all the major multinational corporations are all behind. NBC enlists primetime programs in green message. You know, why do they... Why do you think they call them programs? This from the Associated Press. NBC gives new meaning to the phrase green screen, spreading a pro-environmental message across five of its primetime entertainment programs. 30 Rock, where Al Gore takes a cameo role, leads the way. Environmental themes were also added to the scripts of The Biggest Loser, The Office, Heroes, and Community. NBC Universal's three-year green campaign is largely focused on off-camera issues like making company facilities more eco-friendly. News and info programs have also been enlisted to do stories on environmental issues, but except for one 30 Rock episode 2 years ago, the campaign hasn't touched the primetime lineup. This year, on 30 Rock, corporate boss Alec Baldwin tells the late-night show staff that it has to cut its carbon footprint by 5% and puts Kenneth the Page in charge of getting it done. Those shows are all pretty much the most popular shows on NBC, so that's why they're doing it there. Because I know I hear people talking all the time about Community and 30 Rock. 30 Rock, I think, being one of the more interesting mainstream media mouthpieces going, and all the things that have tied in there, not the least of which being the Rockefellers. But that's for another time. We've got a few articles and even some updates coming up, but again, we're cleaning up what we couldn't get last week on episode 149, where Lou Dobbs abruptly resigned from CNN. We've got reports from the LA Times, but we also have Lou Dobbs himself announcing his resignation live on the air.
Tonight, I want to turn to a personal note, if I may, and address a matter that has raised some curiosity. This will be my last broadcast here on CNN, where I've worked for most of the past 30 years, and where I have many friends and colleagues whom I admire deeply and respect greatly. I'm the last of the original anchors here on CNN, and I'm proud to have had the privilege of helping to build the world's first news network. I'm grateful for the many opportunities that CNN has given me over these many years. I've tried to reciprocate with the full measure of my ability and my energy. Over the past 6 months, it's become increasingly clear that strong winds of change have begun buffeting this country and affecting all of us. And some leaders in media, politics, and business have been urging me to go beyond the role here at CNN and to engage in constructive problem solving, as well as to contribute positively to a better understanding of the great issues of our day.
Kurt Nimmo breaks it down like this. Thought police drive Lou Dobbs off CNN. But we switch gears back to more dinosaur shenanigans. Lawsuit claims rampant sex harassment and race discrimination at the New York Post. That's from dailyfinance.com. And we're going to close out this post-media memes greenwash Lou Dobbs with Immortal Technique, where I wanted to hit this last week because last week, Friday the 13th, Immortal Technique was in Portland, Oregon. Didn't get to see him. But let's try and make that all right by checking out a quick clip of Russia Today interviewing Immortal Technique.
To countless fans, Immortal Technique is a revolutionary rapper. Those hearing him for the first time will notice it's not your conventional packaged and branded hip-hop. Tech is as much an artist as he is a political activist. Lyrically tackling issues like war, poverty, and racism, this New Yorker makes no apologies for his words or perspectives.
Most, if not all, of your lyrics focus on political issues and socioeconomic inequalities that are taking place domestically and internationally. At this point in time, with all the problems mounting up all over the world, what are you focusing on?
Most recently, one of the larger things that I was focused on was the situation in Afghanistan. And actually, we had this conversation off camera, so we'll just get into it right now. The litmus test that is provided for our justification of invasion of another country. I think that while a lot of people would question our entrance into Iraq. They said we should have never gone to Iraq. We should have never gone to this country. Never. There's some people that say we should have to Bosnia too late. You know, we should have gone there earlier. And the question is, well, what is the litmus test? When should we invade? Some people say, well, what about Rwanda? Shouldn't we have gone there? So at some point, we have to confront the circumstances that are behind when the United States of America finally releases its military force to aid or to topple the regime. And I don't think that that's clearly defined. I think that there are talking points people come up with to say, all right, this person's a bad person. This person's a dictator. They treat their people terribly. That's fine, but we also are at peace and we support plenty of dictators who treat their people horribly. And we have done that systematically over the years. We used our Cold War with Russia in the past to justify behavior like this, claiming that if we didn't, all of a sudden, it would fall to the communists and the economy would turn into a wash for us, that we wouldn't have access to any natural resources, everything would be nationalized. And now I don't think that we can really use that excuse anymore, so we come up with other ones. Oh, they're going to be taken over. They'll become a safe haven for terrorism or whatever it may be. But I think that as time progresses with any occupation, it begins to be revealed what the real reasons for us invading the country are, and they're to benefit us and to benefit our corporations rather than the safety of the civilians either there or here.
Well, the reason that was given to the American people and the world at large for the U.S. Invading Afghanistan was 9/11.
Of course it was. 9/11, the blank check for everything that continues to this day. But we're going to have to save our 9/11 truth updates for the big episode 150 coming up. But we've got more media memes. Content is king and corporate schemes. 80% say they would not pay for online content. This from ZeroHedge.com. In a blow to ongoing plans by Rupert Murdoch, as well as others. In a blow to ongoing plans by Murdoch and others to capitalize on premium content, a new study from Forrester shows that 80% of consumers would not be willing to pay for online news content. More on that study from Forrester.com. As readers are more able now to move from one content aggregator to another with greater facility than the Fed prints another $1 billion, Rupert's approach will likely entail a massive game theoretical strategy whereby either all move to a premium model or none do. If even one defector remains, it'll render the whole premium paid plan DOA. 80% say in this Forrester poll they would not pay for online content. I haven't quite figured out, because there are several different articles, if they're all talking about the same study or if there were a few similar studies done. So we have from ZeroHedge.com, 80% say they would not pay for online content. But if we jump to MediaPost.com, this from the Boston Consulting Group, so I suppose this is a different study. People won't pay much for online content. Consumers may be willing to pay for online content, but they won't pay much. Said a Boston Consulting Group survey, which talked to 5,000 people in the U.S., Europe, and Australia. Premium content, tiered internet, Internet 2, all these things are pretty much on the table. So that's why we're using the web like we are now with alternative news sites, trying to spread as much information as possible. So we get a follow-up Indie Media and EFF successfully fight bogus FBI subpoena. This from IndieBay.org. A police fishing expedition has been fought successfully over the course of the past year by one of the IndieMedia.us system administrators and the Electronic Frontier Foundation, largely in secret due to dodgy gag orders, which actually didn't have any real legal standing to begin with. Again, more on that from IndieBay.org. Ashley Banfield joining ABC News. She was an anchor on MSNBC. She, of course, rose to prominence reporting on the day of 9/11. But then she was kind of tough on the lead up to the Iraq War, and so she was canned. And now she's returning to ABC News, so we'll see what happens there with the mainstream talking heads. But another update on Lou Dobbs, this from Steve Watson. Sources close to Lou Dobbs and insiders at CNN have indicated that the legendary anchorman was forced to resign from the network because his coverage was not middle of the road or opinion-free enough for the network. According to comments by Robert Dylan Schneider, a spokesman for the anchorman, CNN was so determined to remove Dobbs, it gave him an $8 million severance package to leave. We, of course, have noted that Lou Dobbs has addressed topics that the alternative media addresses, like the march toward a possible North American Union, and then the New World Order at home, police state international, erosion of posse comitatus, on and on and on. Let's see, hopefully, if Lou makes a move more towards alternative media. He can run a blog and do a radio show and essentially say what he would want to say. I'm not going to hold my breath on that, though. 2012 achieves world domination at the box office, of course. That new ridiculous film from Roland Emmerich, the guy who likes to blow up the White House, Independence Day and the day after tomorrow, and now 2012. I wouldn't mind seeing it. It's probably a hoot. I'm just not going to spend $10 on it. More on NBC and essentially their propaganda. NBC's Obama Vision. This time it's Law and Order. Now in its 20th season, the economy is weak, so they've decided to devolve to converting the White House talking points into weekly shows. Last week's episode, Doped, was a farcical equivalent of Damien Thorne meets Karen Silkwood. Pharmaceutical companies and doctors are worse than drug cartels. The killers in the previous week's episode on such cartels were more sympathetic than the health professionals. And they have a poll quote, I believe, from the Law and Order episode. This is why we need healthcare reform. Amazing mainstream media propaganda. Pretty much seamless. That's from Big Hollywood, a blog I've been following on Breitbart.com. Again, as I try and always put more media into the monarchy. A follow-up as well from Big Hollywood. Fear, children, and video, ingredients for Obama's weapon of mass persuasion. And we'll close out the media memes with... I get choked up. Oprah Winfrey is declaring today that in 2011 she's going to end her landmark show. Yes. She's probably got a cabinet position coming up, that's why. More on that from the Deutsche Press Agency. But that's going to do it for the media memes on MediaMonarchy.com. We're now, for the remainder of this B-Side 149 episode, are going to hit all the latest updates on the two sister sites in the kingdom, in the monarchy. We've got cyberspacewar.com updates coming up, but first let's hit foodworldorder.com and run down the binge and purge list of headlines. Killer Coke, in vitro meat, and more. A two-part excellent series from eatdrinkbetter.com asking the musical question, can Diet Coke kill you? For more on Coca-Cola, but on a different note, if you check out killercoke.org, you can learn about their toxic labor practices, not just the toxic aspartame in Diet Coke. Another note from consumerist.com, Coca-Cola redesigns fruit juice cartons to emphasize the fruit. 8 ways in vitro meat will change our lives. This from HPlusMagazine.com. Future flesh is squatting on your plate. And the 8 ways that they do go into on this HPlusMagazine.com posting, but we'll just mention the 8 points. Number 1, bye-bye ranches. Number 2, urban cowboys. Number 3, healthier humans. Number 4, healthier planet. Number 5, economic upheaval. Number 6, exotic and kinky cuisine. Number 7, farm scrapers. And number 8, we stop the shame. Reading some of those makes me wonder which side of the fence they come down on this. But it is a food world order indeed. Welcome to the Clone Farm from NewsDaily.com. They talk about Pollard Farms full of clone cows. And we've also got more on Michael Taylor, the former Monsanto lawyer hired by the FDA as a key advisor by the Obamasiah. That's from naturalnews.com. More on that same note, we're going to jump to the other posting on foodworldorder.com. Obama's pesticide-pushing nominee. It's another guy we haven't talked about yet. The hits just keep on coming in the Change-Alluia administration. Obama's pesticide-pushing nominee in this case is Islam Izzy Siddiqui. Now, that last name's S-I-D-D-I-Q-U-I. And so it looks like his middle name is Izzy, shortened of Islam, but it's spelled I-S-I. Like the Pakistani Inner Services Intelligence set up by the CIA. That's a digression. Obama's pesticide-pushing nominee, Islam Izzy Siddiqui. This from Mother Jones. When Michelle Obama announced plans to plant an organic garden at the White House, nearly everybody thought it was a great idea. Everybody except for the pesticide industry. Representatives from a branch of the industry's main trade association, Crop Life America, CLA, wrote to the First Lady asking her to respect the role of conventional agriculture. They added in a separate note to supporters that the thought of the White House's chemical-free vegetables made them, quote-unquote, shudder. But the public swipe at the president's wife, didn't stop the administration from nominating senior CLA executive Islam Izzy Siddiqui to a key post, that of Chief Agricultural Negotiator for the Office of U.S. Trade Representatives, USTR.gov. If confirmed, Izzy will be responsible for, among other things, negotiating international agreements governing the use of, wait for it, pesticides. CLA is the American branch of Crop Life International, a powerful global lobby. Its members include agricultural giants such as Dow AgroSciences, Monsanto, and DuPont. Siddiqui joined the CLA in 2001 as a registered lobbyist, and since 2003 has served as its vice president of science and regulatory affairs. In that position, he's played a critical role in setting CLA's domestic and international agenda. Chiding Michelle Obama for not using crop protection products in her garden is one of the milder tactics CLA has deployed in service of its cause. During Siddiqui's tenure at the organization, it has lobbied aggressively to weaken domestic and international regulations on pesticides and other agricultural chemicals. And it gets worse. In 2005, the group participated in secret talks, with a link to Politico.com for you. In 2005, the CLA participated in secret talks with the Environmental Protection Agency and the Office of Management and Budget, the EPA and the OMB, on permitting pesticide testing on children. In 2006, CropLife America helped secure an exemption for American farmers for a worldwide ban on methyl bromide, an ozone-depleting pesticide. It's also actively worked to remove what it terms trade irritants on pesticides under NAFTA. In its 2008 annual report, CLA highlighted its relentless efforts to persuade negotiators to cut language discriminatory to pesticides from the 2008 Farm Bill. Meanwhile, its parent organization has fought to eliminate all tariffs on pesticides in World Trade Organization trade negotiations. After the nomination of Izzy was announced, more than 80 organizations, including environmental groups and organic and local farm interests, wrote to the Senate Finance Committee in protest, saying, quote, "The Obama administration has said they're not going to put lobbyists in these roles in government, and Siddiqui was a lobbyist. He worked for the industry," end quote, explained Doug Gurian-Sherman, a senior scientist working on food and environmental issues at the Union of Concerned Scientists, UCSUSA.org. The question is whether he can take a scientific, unbiased perspective on what works and what doesn't work, rather than a trade agenda that primarily supports large U.S. companies and the technologies that they prefer. Change you can spray pesticide on. That's all the latest on foodworldorder.com. We're now going to shift for the remainder of this B-Side 149 episode from MediaMonarchy.com, November 20th, 2009, to CyberspaceWar.com, the first from Public Radio. NSA has given Microsoft some help on Windows 7 security. The National Security Agency has been working with Microsoft Corporation to help improve security measures for its new Windows 7 operating system, a senior NSA official said on Tuesday. The confirmation of the NSA's role, which began during the development of the software, is a sign of the agency's deepening involvement with the private sector when it comes to building defenses against cyber attacks. Working in partnership with Microsoft and the Department of Defense, the NSA leveraged their unique expertise and operational knowledge of system threats and vulnerabilities to enhance Microsoft's operating system security guide without constraining the user's ability to perform their everyday tasks, so said Richard Schaefer, the NSA's Information Assurance Director, in remarks to the Senate Judiciary Committee in a statement prepared for a hearing held in Washington, with a link for you to the judiciary.senate.gov. All this was done in coordination with the product release, not months or years later in the product cycle. So they were with him in bed from the very beginning. The partnership between the NSA and Microsoft is not new. Schaefer went on to say that the NSA is also working to engage other companies, including, yes, Apple, Sun, Red Hat, Symantec, McAfee, and Intel. I made the reference to using these tools while we can, and I think stories like this help illustrate that so much more. Essentially, the man built the road that we're running around driving on right now. But just like toll roads popping up on the real roads we already paid for, toll roads might start popping up even more on the superhighway. NSA giving Microsoft some help on Windows 7 security. There's more contextual supplemental links for you to read up, do the research for yourself. More coming from computerworld.com, CrunchGear, more from Wikipedia, itpro.co.uk. And we'll quickly move to the next post on cyberspacewar.com for a quick mention about the Pirate Bay. This from Threat Level. Pirate Bay retires the world's largest BitTorrent tracker. This from Tuesday, November 17th. Operators of the Pirate Bay shuttered the site's BitTorrent tracker on Tuesday, 6 years after it was founded. Trackers, being the servers that bootstrap each BitTorrent download, are no longer necessary, with enhancements like DHT and PEX that allow peers to locate one another without accessing a central server, site operators wrote on the Pirate Bay's blog, thepiratebay.org/blog, quote, "Now that the decentralized system for finding peers is so well developed, the Pirate Bay has decided that there's no need to run a tracker anymore, so it will remain down!" Exclamation point. It's the end of an era. This is what we consider to be the future. Faster and more stability for the users because there's no central point to rely on. The changeover, first reported by Torrent Freak, does not decommission Sweden's Pirate Bay, whose four co-founders face a year in prison for facilitating copyright infringement. The site continues to host and index torrent files in a more streamlined fashion. We have two updates as well from Threat Level. This first one coming a day later. It's alive! Hollywood claims Pirate Bay tracker lives. Did the Pirate Bay really shutter its tracker, as claimed on Tuesday? The Motion Picture Association doesn't think so. Hollywood's overseas lobbying organization claims Open BitTorrent, billed as an independent open tracker project, was actually established by one of the Pirate Bay's founders. Open BitTorrent is used for file sharing, and we suspect that it is the Pirate Bay tracker with a new name. It's added by default on all the torrent tracker files on Pirate Bay, Hollywood attorney Monique Wadsted told Swedish media. Wadsted, Torrent Freak notes, said the tracker's domain was originally registered by Fredrik Nij, one of the four Pirate Bay co-founders. The plot thickens. Another note, I believe this just has to do with the property of the actual Pirate Bay logo. Swedish retailer lets go of Pirate Bay logo. The last post on this episode and on cyberspacewar.com, DEFCON 1119, posted up yesterday, November 19th. The DEFCON on cyberspacewar.com is just an ugly list of headlines. And again, it's all there for you. I've tried to lay out a logical path, again, so you can do the homework yourself. Arms race, web games, CERN, and biometrics. We first note from spacewar.com, Raytheon to provide cybersecurity across Department of Defense networks. Obama said to be close, again, to naming the cybersecurity chief. That's from computerworld.com, and I've even been confused about who's the chief and who's the czar, and I know the NSA guy is the head of possibly cybercom, but are they talking here about the cyber czar? It's all bizarre. Place your bets, is cyber czar announcement really near? That's from executivebiz.com. A note from DoD Buzz, U.S. cyber defenses full of holes. Again, the military beating the drum that we need more money. We need more control. We need to fight the net as an enemy weapon system. Like it says in the Information Operations Roadmap. Again, from Threat Level, Senate panel says 80% of cyber attacks are preventable. Web security company warns of cyber arms race. This from DefenseTalk.com. Warning of a cyber arms race. A leading web security firm said that China, France, Israel, Russia, and the U.S. were among countries that have developed cyber weapons. McAfee began to warn of the global cyber arms race more than 2 years ago, but now we're seeing increasing evidence that it's become real, said Dave DeWalt, president and chief executive of McAfee, the aforementioned company that also does work with the NSA. Several nations around the world are actively engaged in cyber war-like preparations and attacks. Today, the weapons are not nuclear, but virtual, and everyone must adapt to these threats. The Santa Clara, California-based McAfee, in its fifth annual virtual criminology report, said China, France, Israel, Russia, and the U.S. have developed, quote-unquote, advanced offensive cyber capabilities. Cyber warfare is a reality. ArsTechnica.com goes into the recent ICANN conference. That's ICANN. That would be the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. And attendees at the recent conference still telling America to surrender the root file. Complaints about continuing U.S. government control of internet domain name issues surfaced again this week in Egypt at the UN-backed Internet Governance Forum. Should the U.S. government step even further back from the internet? This gets into complicated things and IP addresses and DNS servers and ICANN domain names. But again, more from ArsTechnica.com. Jumping to the Register.co.uk, more on the moon. NASA says the moon is a hydrated mistress. Again, we announced when it broke last Friday, water on the moon, or at least that they want to tell us about now. NASA also maps Mars with web games. Again, you gotta love the Register.co.uk. NASA is outsourcing laborious Martian cartography to Earth children with a website that entices users to make a game out of sorting through the space agency's hundreds of thousands of images of the red planet. In collaboration with Microsoft, NASA has created the Be a Martian website, beamartian.jpl.nasa.gov. We're helping to improve Mars map data earns participants points and badges, as well as a heady sense of aiding humanity's exploration of yada yada. DoD Buzz has more on the National Reconnaissance Office. Spy agency changes spark mistrust. Anytime we note NRO, we note that they were running a drill on the morning of 9/11, somehow involved with Pakistan and, you know, about a hijacked jet crashing into a government building in D.C. And I believe it's going to happen tomorrow morning, kids. The doomsday device, the end of the world machine. Scientists hold their breath as CERN prepares to fire up. More from The Guardian. DHS to take a closer look at IT spending. That's from Federal Computer Week. And, oh, also from FCW.com, DHS proposes permanent status for biometrics-based traveler program. That would be the Trusted Traveler Program. As we've noted time and time again, so many things are rushed through in the heady... Oh, there's that word. I said heady. I just heard it. I repeated it. In the chaos of a disaster, we rush to change and instill and institute new things that they say it's only temporary, it's only for this crisis, but of course it sticks around and sticks around and sticks around. Patriot Act continues. Posse Comitatus still dead. Habeas corpus still gone. Spying. Wars of aggression. All of it. Continuing on and on. Change-alluia. But the last couple update notes on this DEFCON 1119 post on cyberspacewar.com. Arms race, web games, CERN, and biometrics. Broken FAA computer causing delays across the U.S. We've got bits from Threat Level and Consumerist, and also a video slash audio report, I believe from ABC News, computer glitch grounds air traffic.
People who were planning to fly today are being advised to check the status of their flights. An early morning computer glitch caused widespread cancellations and delays for the second time in 15 months. The Federal Aviation Administration says the problem has now been resolved. ABC's Lisa Stark has been following this all day. She joins me from Washington with details. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning, Meg.
So where did the problem start and how far did it stretch?
Well, it's still unclear about exactly how the problem started, but apparently they caused delays nationwide. Luckily, it started really early this morning. Morning, about 5:30 Eastern time. Not a particularly busy time at the airlines, but it did go through about the morning rush. So flights were delayed from Atlanta all the way to the West Coast. We're now told with the system back up and running that things are getting back to normal. The airlines are telling us that they are seeing only minimal delays at this time. So hopefully for those traveling later today and certainly on into the Thanksgiving week, we will not see any problems.
No kidding. Tell us a little bit more about the problem exactly. What was it?
Well, the FAA has two major computer systems, one in Salt Lake City and one in Atlanta, that process flight plans electronically. So those flight plans then, of course, go to the controllers. They tell them where the plane is going, what the plane's numbers are, everything about that plane. Those are all processed electronically by these two major computers. Well, when these systems fail, what controllers have to do is input that information manually by hand. It takes a lot more time. It slows the system down. They had to increase the distance between planes in the air just as an added measure because they were taking so long to put these flight plans in the computer. So that's what happened. And this system actually failed about a year and a half ago in August of 2008. And at that time, it was a much bigger cascading problem, a little bit less of a problem this time.
And as you mentioned, there are still delays across the country as we speak. And how long do you expect them, you know, how long is it going to take for them to catch up to get everything back on track?
Well, the controllers thought this morning that it would take quite some time to unravel this morning's mess, but the airlines are telling us now that that things are getting back to normal pretty quickly. And in fact, I was out at Reagan International Airport about a half hour ago, and I found there the delays had shrunk. Initially, they were over an hour. Now they're down to 10, 15, 20 minutes. So things are getting back to normal.
All right. ABC's Lisa Stark reporting from Washington. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gosh, I can't wait to fly. It's going to be good, I bet. The last couple notes on cyberspacewar.com. eBay's $2 billion sale of Skype is complete. eBay has successfully unloaded Skype. They remain a minority stakeholder, but 70% of Skype has been sold to a group that includes the original co-founders of the Internet Telephony Company. More on that from CNET.com. And the last note, back on theregister.co.uk, Al Gore entertains the supercomputer troops in Portland, Oregon. This happened yesterday. We knew that Al Gore was going to be in town here in Portland doing his climate control thing for his new book at a more conventional setting. However, my inside source at this conference called it several days in advance and said Al Gore's going to show up at this supercomputing convention. Al Gore entertains the supercomputer troops. Former vice president and Nobel Prize winner Al Gore did his self-deprecating politician and climate change champion routine as a keynote for the HPC High Performance Computing Faithful at the SC09 trade show in Portland, Oregon on November 19th, and did his best to get the HPC community fired up about the job they need to do to help normal people, as well as politicians, see and understand that we need to address climate change by changing our energy, transportation, water, and agriculture systems. And in a way, he's right. However, this all ties into the coming smart grid and climate control. So they're going to the high-tech computer folks making sure the private contractors, the environmental, military, industrial complex contractors, get in on the ground floor, because the cyberspace war and the smart grid and the coming climate control, they're all going to be connected, literally. That's pretty much going to do it for this B-Side episode 149 from MediaMonarchy.com. November 20th, 2009. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the sites and show MediaMonarchy.com, as well as FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. So we referenced Al Gore being in Portland yesterday and the day before. And back at the top, we referenced Immortal Technique being here last week. And that was the way I was going to finish last week's show, but again, we ran out of time, so we'll do it right here. We played this at least once before on Media Monarchy, but we've been doing the show now for 3+ years, so it's been a long time, and if you haven't heard it, it's still new to you. It's Immortal Technique, the fourth branch. The song is fantastic, from The Amazing Revolutionary, Volume 2. I thank you for listening, and I invite you to stay tuned, stay subscribed, get active, or get radioactive. The 150th episode of MediaMonarchy.com is coming right up. But let's go out with fourth branch from Immortal Technique. Take care.
The new age is upon us, and yet the past refuses to rest in its shallow grave. For those who hide behind the false image of the Son of Man shall stand before God, 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 God. It has begun.
Voice of racism preaching the gospel is devilish. A fake church called the Prophet Muhammad a terrorist. Forgetting God is not religion, but a spiritual bond. And Jesus is the most quoted prophet in the Quran. They bombed innocent people, trying to murder Saddam. When you gave them those chemical weapons to go to war with Iran. This is the information that they hold back from Peter Jennings. Cause Condoleezza Rice is just a new age Sally Hemings. I break it down with critical language and spiritual anguish. The Judas are hanged. The guilt of betraying Christ, who murdered him, stole his religion, and painted him white. Translated in psychologically tainted philosophy, conservative political right-wing ideology, glued together sloppily, the blasphemy of a nation. Got my back to the wall, cause I'm facing assassination, Guantanamo Bay, federal incarceration. How could this be? The land of the free, home of the brave, indigenous Holocaust, and the home of the slaves. Corporate America, dancing offbeat to the rhythm. You really think this country never sponsored terrorism? Human rights violations, we continue the saga. El Salvador and the Contras and Nicaragua. And on top of that, you still wanna take me to prison, just cause I won't trade humanity for patriotism. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain, suggestive thinking causing your perspective to change. They wanna rearrange the whole point of view of the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government wants us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality, fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Read about the history of the place that we live in, and stop letting corporate news tell lies to your children. Flow like the blood of Abraham through the Jews and the Arabs, broken apart like a woman's heart abused in a marriage. The brink of holy war, bottled up like a miscarriage. Embedded correspondents don't tell the source of the tension, and they refuse to even mention European intervention or the massacres in Jenin. The innocent screams, U.S. manufactured missiles and M16s, weapon contracts and corrupted American dreams, media censorship blocking out the video screens, a continent of oil kingdoms bought for a bargain. Democracy is just a word when the people are starving, the average citizen made to be blind to the reason, a desert full of genocide where the bodies are freezing and the world doesn't believe that you're fighting for freedom.
freedom. Cause you fucked the Middle East and gave birth to a demon. It's open season with the CIA bugging my crib, trapped in a ghetto region like a Palestinian kid, where nobody gives a fuck whether you die or you live. I'm trying to give the truth, and I know the price is my life. But when I'm gone, they'll sing a song about immortal technique, who beheaded the president and the princes and sheiks. You don't give a fuck about us. I can see through your facade like a fallen angel standing in the presence of God. Bitch nigga scared of the truth when it looks at you hard. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain, suggestive thinking causing your perspective to change. They wanna rearrange the whole point of view in a ghetto. The fourth branch of the government want us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality, fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Martial law is coming soon to the hood to kill you, while you hanging your flag out your project window. Yeah. The fourth branch of the government, aka the media, seems to now have a retirement plan for ex-military officials, as if their opinion was at all unbiased. A machine shouldn't speak for men, so shut the fuck up, you mindless drone. And you know it's serious when these same media outfits are spending millions of dollars on a PR campaign to try to convince you they're fair and balanced, when they're some of the most ignorant and racist people giving that type of mentality a safe haven. We act like we share in the spoils of war that they do. We die in wars. We don't get the contracts to make money off them afterwards. We don't get weapons contracts, nigga. We don't get cheap labor for our companies, nigga. We are cheap labor, nigga. Turn off the news and read, nigga. Read. Read.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.